Number five, please.
Item number five, from the Executive Secretary of the Personnel Review Board, requesting authorization to amend the contract with Gonzalez, Saggio, and Harlan LLP by an additional $90,000 to a total of $102,000 for legal representation in Personnel Review Board matters.
Good morning, Director. How are you?
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. I'm Veronica Robinson, Executive Secretary, Personnel Review Board, Executive Director, Ethics Board. And this request is, as stated, a request to amend our contract with outside legal counsel for the Personnel Review Board by an additional $90,000. The total we're looking at is $102,000. And the purpose is to pay for the continued legal services that we anticipate that we'll have based on cases that are already in court, cases that have already been appealed to circuit court, matters that we expect will probably be appealed to circuit court in the hearings that are to come for the rest of the year. And also the board periodically needs to refer to its outside counsel for legal opinions as to how to respond to certain cases that come before it.
Thank you. Supervisor Cullen.
This isn't necessarily a question. I did speak to Corp Counsel a little bit about this, but this seems like an awful big increase in from 12,000 to 102,000. And, you know, we do have Corp Counsel that can handle some of these matters, and I know they have some questions as to whether or not there are potential conflicts down the road, and there have been some issues, and I think I was told in other areas of the state that there may have been some issues of conflict raised, and I know in Ms. Robinson's writing she touched on that a little bit, but, you know, we're in difficult economic times. I guess until I see a court tell Corp Counsel that there's a conflict in representing a department and then representing the county, I would prefer to go that route in this, so I don't plan on supporting this large increase today.
Thank you, Supervisor. Supervisor Roman West.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I do echo the sentiments of my colleague. I mean, at this point, honestly, the price tag that's attached to this, we probably could have a corporation counsel attorney assigned just to the Personnel Review Board for this cost. And I'm not sure if that's not a bet. And I understand that this is abnormal, but can you tell us how did you arrive at that $90,000 mark?
Yes. As indicated in here, we started out the year, our budget request was $12,000, so admittedly small. We did have a slight carryover from last year, so that with the small carryover that we had from last year to our budget request, we had about the same amount starting out at the beginning of the year as what we spent in total last year. There's been a lot of changes that have affected what comes before the Personnel Review Board. In the past, many of the cases that came before the Personnel Review Board were employees who were represented, and they received counsel through the union. But with the changes from Act 10, many more employees come before the Personnel Review Board now, either representing themselves or getting outside counsel. So we have many more cases that are being appealed to circuit court. One of the matters, we also have more jurisdiction cases that are coming, and a few grievance cases have come. In the matter of James Teachin, the Personnel Review Board determined that they did not have jurisdiction to hear his case. That is the case that most recently, when the Personnel Review Board was called to respond to that matter, we anticipate that case will have a significant cost attached to it. Now, that is a decision that I came to in conjunction with conversations I had with Corporation Counsel. But if, in fact, that case does wind up costing what's expected to cost, then that will use up all the funding that we have. So in order to come to the $90,000 amount, the additional $90,000, I considered the fact that we wanted to we kind of estimated what would be a reasonable cost to cover specifically the James teaching case. But again, we already have five other cases that are in circuit court right now. Two of them have come down with decisions, but we expect that those people will continue to pursue the matter. So we've got the James teaching piece, that's item one, that we expect is going to have a significant cost, but we can't estimate what that cost is going to be, but we need to have our counsel ready to act on our behalf. To go through this process to get the money when the matter's in court, or we need an attorney to go and represent us, that can be difficult. Then, on top of that, the teaching matter, we have the other cases that are already in court right now. Then, we have 17 more cases, 17 more PRB meetings scheduled for the year. Typically, the Personnel Review Board adds an additional 4 hearings per meeting, so that's another 68 hearings that we expect to hear, assuming that the board will put those 4 cases on there. And of that 68 cases, we don't know how many of those ultimately will be appealed to circuit court. We don't know how many grievances we might come, how many other matters that might come before the board that are really just someone asking whether or not the board has jurisdiction. And the Personnel Review Board is going to need to be able to turn around and go to their counsel and say, you know, is this an appropriate response? So we need money. So basically, I kind of maxed out what the estimated cost would be for the teaching matter, which was about $45,000, and just anticipating what would come up for the rest of the year, you know, I doubled that. How to come up with an appropriate dollar amount, I don't know. If somebody has a formula, I'll use it. But I'm just trying to avoid being in a situation where I come back before this board in August, and then I have to come back before this board again in October. Whatever doesn't get used would ultimately go back to the bottom line. And we hope that this won't occur in 2014, but we do anticipate that unless the process goes back to what it was before, we will have more employees that are going out and getting employment lawyers who are appealing these cases to circuit court.
Okay, thank you. So if I'm reading your report correctly, then the cost, this $90,000, would be absorbed by DHHS, the Department of Health and Human Services?
That's what I was informed initially. I don't know whether or not there's some confusion about that. I was informed that was going to be the case.
Okay. Well, I think that also affects on how we vote today, because if we're signing this check saying yes, $90,000, we're going to give you. I need to know where that money is going to be coming from, definitely, because I see it here in the paragraph, but then in the fiscal note, it doesn't. It says, will it be absorbed within the department's budget, and it's checked that it's not.
It won't be absorbed in our budget.
Okay.
So that was why I checked no.
So you have an understanding with DHHS, and I understand that the two individuals that you're discussing both were terminated by DHHS, or Mr. Teachin at least was, and then the other gentleman worked at BHD, so that would be DHHS as well. And so is that was the reasoning, I'm guessing, why the $90,000 would be absorbed in DHHS budget?
I really don't know the answer to that. When I first, how this all came to be, this is not the first time, but this was a matter where once we got our summons and complaint, we contacted Corporation Counsel to find out whether or not Corporation Counsel would be able to represent us in this matter. And we were informed that in this matter they would not be able to represent us. And, excuse me, so there was some discussion about how we pay for this since we only had $12,000, mm-hmm. and that needed to last us through the entire year for everything that we have. Through those conversations, it was brought to my attention that this would be paid for from DHHS and behavioral health. I don't know the back end of that conversation. That's just what I was informed.
Okay. Do you know, are these cases, the PRB cases, are they discussed in the Judiciary Committee?
No.
Are they, I'm sorry, could you ask the question again?
Are they discussed in Judiciary? Okay, so that's the other concern that I have. So here we have before us Ms. Robinson, by no fault of your own, who is sitting here and discussing with us these multiple cases that may be coming before us. This is the Finance, Personnel, and Audit Committee, and I don't have any information on any of these cases. So I can't make an informed decision today, not being an attorney like my colleague to the left of me, as to, you know, where we kind of stand with these cases, if it's something that we should be moving forward, if it's a policy-making body of this committee. I'm not sure that at this point in time I'm sharing the concern of Supervisor Cullen, whether or not, you know, is it prudent for us to say we're going to give you this $90,000, or would it be more prudent for us to say, because of the change in Act 10, because of the amount of these cases that are now being played out in circuit court, is it better for us as a county now to revisit our policy on how we handle these cases and maybe adjust ourselves accordingly? And so I want to be supportive of you. I understand you need this money in order to get done with what you need to get done with, but I feel like there's just a lot more questions than there are answers at this point. And so I'm not really sure why we're not being updated on these cases, where these cases are going, what we feel like our liability will be in these cases. That's my first concern. And then second of all, the fact that you're here today asking for this $90,000 increase when I'm not sure that any of us were aware that we were having an increase with the PRB board and cases going to circuit court. So that's my major concern. Obviously, I want to give you the money that you need in order to get things done, but at this point, should we be reviewing our policies and maybe directing, you know, going in another direction, having this been brought before us? So that's a question for us, I guess, not for you, Ms. Robinson. So thank you for the leeway, Mr. Chairman.
That's fine, Supervisor. Before I get to Supervisor Joseph, Mr. Grady.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. Mark Grady, Deputy Corporation Counsel. I just want to provide our office's perspective, for lack of a better word, on these issues. Ms. Robinson, excuse me, Ms. Robinson is correct. She discussed these matters with me. I also discussed them with Ms. Walker. The problem that our office has in representing the PRB, and the problem is the same in the Civil Service Commission and arguably the same with respect to perhaps ethics matters, but especially Civil Service Commission and PRB, is that they're designed to be independent bodies operating independent of the county. And the county departments appear as parties in front of those bodies. So the best example of this is in the memo that Ms. Robinson has given you, the second example, not the teaching case necessarily, but the Willie McGee matter. Our office represents the department in a discharge case. And so we are there advocating for a discharge on behalf of management. If the PRB sustains the charges for discharge, obviously the department is pleased, the employee may appeal. But in the Willie McGee case, that didn't happen. The PRB found that discharge was not required, and the department is not happy. And so the department wants us to file the circuit court appeal against the PRB because we represent one of the parties in front of the PRB. They're like the judge. So we can't file an appeal against the PRB, and then also represent the PRB when the decisions are against the department. Likewise, if they're in favor of the department, we can't file an appeal, or we can't respond to an appeal filed by an employee and represent both the department and the judicial decision maker, i.e. the PRB. It just doesn't look right. It isn't right. And so the same is true in Civil Service Commission. With respect to Mr. Teachin, our office is representing the county in the lawsuit that Mr. Teachin has brought. The county as an entity and the department as an entity. The PRB has a different role, a different purpose. They have a jurisdictional issue about whether they even had any jurisdiction with respect to Mr. Teachin's discharge. And so they need separate counsel. I think that with respect to the dollar amount, it's a guesstimate. I mean, if you aren't comfortable with $90,000, you can lower the amount and make Ms. Robinson come back more frequently. It's just, I don't disagree with the guesstimate, but if you aren't satisfied with it, obviously you can reduce it and make her come back again. with respect to the question about corporation counsel and you know, the long-range vision for this issue, certainly we would support the notion of having an in-house counsel representing the PRB, the Ethics Board, and the Civil Service Commission. I don't think they would be part of our office. I think they'd be independent counsel for those independent bodies. And I think, personally, this is me speaking at this moment, not our office, that there's enough work and will be enough work for an attorney to represent all those bodies rather than having outside counsel under contract. But that's an issue for the 2014 or some other later budget. You have an immediate problem. You have a lawsuit pending, and you have a lawyer retained, and you've got to figure out how to pay him or he's going to stop working. So whether you approve $90,000 or some lesser amount, you do need to approve something today, I believe. The last question about DHHS, just I was informed by Mr. Kamholtz that he had preferred that this money come from DHHS rather than somewhere else. I don't know whether he talked to DHHS. I just assumed it. Maybe he didn't. Maybe he did. I'm hearing now that maybe they weren't consulted. It's your call where the money comes from. If you want it to come from DHHS budget, it was selected because that's where these individuals were involved. If you want it to come from contingencies, you want it to come from litigation reserve, that's your call. But it's written the way it was written because that's where these employees will work.
Supervisor Romulist.
Thank you. I have a really quick question. So let's say that we go ahead and we authorize this $90,000. The case is concluded, and it's concluded in the favor of the county. Are we then in a position where we can ask for these employees to pay our legal fees?
Mr. Chairman, no. With some exceptions generally related to civil rights cases, for example, the losing party does not have to pay the winning party's attorney's fees in court actions, generally speaking. There's no mechanism for that.
So that's something that we can't ask for, or is something you generally don't ask for?
No, we cannot.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Supervisor Jersey.
Well, I appreciate the comments. And first of all, the fact that I'm a lawyer, I know nothing about these cases, don't want to know nothing about these cases. Right. These cases are being heard by the Pension Review Board, and therein lies the rub of this.
Personnel.
This isn't
personnel
Review Board.
Right.
This isn't Mrs. Robinson's request for funding for her office.
Right.
You're in a situation where you're going to have the PRB sitting there without legal counsel, and you can't do that. So we need to support this request. I actually applaud the fact that they're bringing this forward. It's going to be expensive. We've had a lot of upheaval in this county government, and this is the result of it. You're going to have these costs. But you can't leave the PRB board, and by the way, hopefully these people continue to act in that capacity. I know the prior attorney that represented this, and she wanted to get out of there in a hurry because these were going to be, the costs were going to be continuing to run up, and we didn't put enough money in the budget for it. As simple as that. So we can't leave the Personnel Review Board without legal counsel to conduct the business they have to conduct. So, you know, I'm going to move approval of the resolution if we haven't done so already. I'm not going to look to change the amount. I think the amount has been appropriately, requested by the department. And, you know, if there's money left over at the end of the year, we'll have it as a surplus. But I think it's been a legitimate request. You look at all the cases and the problem with these cases. So let's just move on. This board is going to need legal representation. We're going to have to bite the bullet.
Thank you very much, Supervisor. Supervisor Cullen and Supervisor Stanford.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Robinson, I mean, this is no reflection on you, and I see that you're put in a really difficult position here. But one of the things you said is because of the changes of Act 10, some of these employees who previously were represented by maybe their union attorneys are now either representing themselves or getting their own counsel. And you said, so there are more appeals. I don't understand the connection between that. I would think the union would appeal more than someone who's paying their own attorney or someone who has to then pay the court filing costs. So maybe you can explain that to me. And I guess I also have a question then for Mr. Grady. You say it doesn't look right. I understand the McGee case where there is this counsel. You said it doesn't look right. Is it the past practice? Has that been that the corp counsel in these cases where someone's been discharged and then it's gone to circuit court that then corp counsel has represented the county and you want to change that because of something? Is there something in the attorney's ethics code that is causing you to do that? Has there been a change? So those are two questions.
Executive Secretary Robinson, then Mr. Grady.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Regarding the appeals, I couldn't comment on what the union uses to determine whether or not they're going to appeal. There are still employees that come before the board with counsel from the union, and I didn't mean to imply that they never appeal anything. They do. It just, there are more appeals now, and I don't know if it's because outside attorneys have some other objective. I don't really know, but there are more appeals, and the only thing that I can associate that with, the only major change that's occurred is that we do have more attorneys that are coming from the outside and more employees that are appealing themselves. And most of these cases that have been appealed to circuit court have been appealed by employees who have used outside counsel. So to me, there's a pattern. And just briefly before Mr. Grady comments, I just wanted to give some other examples. I identified the Amy Hazen case on here. That was a case where the Personnel Review Board made a decision that didn't favor the employee. The employee appealed to circuit court, and corporation counsel was in a position where, because we ruled in favor of the department, they were now sitting on the same side as the Personnel Review Board representing their department. The PRB had their outside counsel before a judge against the attorney and her counsel. But if the judge winds up ruling in favor of the employee, then corporation counsel's the department now is at odds with the Personnel Review Board. In the case of, there's one other matter on here, I thought of it a minute ago, but there are cases that come up before the board where, depending upon what happens after the matter is appealed to circuit court, corporation counsel will now be in a position opposite the Personnel Review Board where they might want to appeal a decision the Personnel Review Board made. And you can explain why that would be. I don't know if they think it sets a wrong precedent. I don't know. But they do wind up in opposition to the Personnel Review Board. And even the concept of having one attorney from corporation counsel representing all three boards could possibly wind up in a conflict of interest. We have had cases that have come before the Personnel Review Board where the employee feels that they were discharged outside of the PRB process, appealed the matter to the Civil Service Commission, and the Civil Service Commission then has had to put the employee back to work, and now the discharge matter comes back before the Personnel Review Board. Or the Personnel Review Board can act if the Ethics Board determines that after examining an ethics matter, an employee should be recommended for discharge. That matter from the Ethics Board would then wind up going before the PRB Board as a hearing body. It's kind of convoluted. All three of those bodies ultimately are independent. So even in the case of trying to have one attorney represent all three, possibly that could cause conflict. So I just wanted to throw that out there. And then the last thing is that matters of the Personnel Review Board are final. So I would gladly let the Judiciary Committee do a memo whenever we have matters that are referred to, that are appealed. But once they go to Judiciary, it's not the same as a case where there's an accident and someone submits a memo to Judiciary and says, we think we should pay this person $10,000 and be done with the matter. In fact, the decision is final, so it has to go before a judge, and the judge is going to be the person that's going to decide what the outcome is going to be.
Mr. Grady.
In response to Supervisor Cullen's question, I would say a couple of things. First of all, the past practice of our office has been to represent both the department and the PRB. Ms. Walker and I believe that's an incorrect practice. We believe it's an inappropriate practice. It really stems from two concepts. One is a conflict of interest concept, but also a due process concept. And there are cases, not in this particular context, but in other contexts, for example, in front of pension review issues, pension matters, where courts have found that it is inappropriate for the same attorney to represent for example, the retirement system against an employee who has a benefit issue, when the pension board then considers that matter, the pension board should have a separate counsel to hear that appeal as opposed to the counsel who is representing the staff. It's again, to create an independence by the decision maker in every facet. And so we believe, contrary to our office's past practice, that the better practice is for the decision-making body that's acting in a quasi-judicial capacity to have separate counsel when its decisions are challenged in circuit court or otherwise, and that it's inappropriate for us to represent the PRB in those matters. A lot of times we're aligned in interest with the PRB, but as Ms. Robinson points out, there are times when we're not. Sometimes the PRB sort of splits the baby, so to speak, where they will issue a decision that doesn't make either side happy, something between a discharge and a complete vindication, and both sides are unhappy, the department, the appointing authority, and the employee. And so both sides may appeal to the circuit court. So it is correct to point out that this is not the way these matters have been handled in the past, but it is our position that this is the way they should be handled. With respect to the Judiciary Committee, these matters have not been reported to either the Judiciary Committee or this committee in the litigation update for a couple of reasons. One is time. If we reported on every case we had, I mean, we have hundreds of cases, and so we don't do that. We pick the ones we think are of the most interest to you. We're willing to report on anything you want, but we pick the ones we think are of most interest to you. But also, as Ms. Robinson points out, the cases that are in front of the committees generally are cases where the committee has some input on resolution. These cases, the committee doesn't have any input on settling a discharge case. There just isn't any. It's the PRB's decision. And so the back pay award is because the PRB ordered that. And there's no settlement for the county board to consider. And so in that context, that's one of the reasons we don't report them. If you want reports on them, we're happy to give them.
No, we don't want those. Supervisor Cullen, anything else?
No, well, just so the record reflects, I'm not against full employment for lawyers. You know, but I just, you know, I think the idea of maybe Ms. Robinson come back here periodically as opposed to this lump sum, you know, is a little more time consuming, but might be a more comfortable option for me.
We have a motion for approval for item number 5. Any other comments? Mr. Comptroller Mansky.
The only thing that I would add to this is because of it says that funding is available in the Department of Human Services Behavioral Health Division. Mm-hmm. The contract, however, is in the Personnel Review Board budget. So I would work with staff and prior to board day have an additional addendum to this, a further be it resolved clause, which would allow the Department of Administrative Services to process a fund transfer, which would take funds from the Department of Human Services, Behavioral Health Division, and because of state statute, which limits any transfers between departments until the fourth quarter, Department of Human Services to the contingency fund and the contingency fund over to the Personnel Review Board. But I'll work with staff on that prior to the board. I just want to make sure they have monies within their budget in order to allow them to expand the contract. Otherwise, we won't be able to accomplish this within their budget.
Thank you. Supervisor Schmidt and Supervisor Alexander.
Thank you. It's something that is important, but we're talking about a lot for the future, too, so I would suggest that Corporation Council and PRB suggest the county executive for the 2014 budget. Let's look ahead to that. It's important that, you know, the idea of maybe having a separate lawyer for these three areas is something maybe that we should definitely look at then so we don't get into this. And also, I mean, I think we realize we have to do it. I mean, money is a concern for some people here, so let me throw out, if there's support on the board right now, this contracts are $50,000 when we have, you know, some power, so why don't we make it $50,000? It's a substantial amount of money. I mean, we're guesstimating here how much these cost. I don't think I'm willing to say, let's give $90,000, although I realize anything we offer, if it's not spent, and this is just for 2013 as well, as we understand, okay? If it's not spent, you know, the caveat should certainly be that, you know, it comes back, okay? But I guess I'm asking, Mr. Chairman, yourself and the board, if we would just do $50,000 here, and in necessity of coming back and looking at really what these costs would be. So, I mean, we got to give them some money, but I don't think we have to give them $90,000 right now. Thank you.
Supervisor, you still have the floor. If it is yours, desire to offer an amendment, then please do so.
I will, but Mr. Grady, was there a problem with something I said? I noticed you kind of cautioning on this, possibly limiting.
Mr. Chairman?
I'd ask.
Deputy Corporation Counsel Grady.
Yeah. Mr. Chairman, I was not reacting to the number. I was reacting to the concept. I believe, and I can be corrected if I'm wrong, that if we encumber a contract for, let's say, $90,000, and it's not spent at the end of the year, I believe it carries over to the next year.
Okay.
As opposed to dropping to the bottom line. But I'll be corrected if I'm wrong.
Okay. Well, that's another reason I thought that. That's another reason I do want to make an amendment for $50,000 then. I'm going to put that on the floor.
Additional
$50,000 from the 12 they have, correct?
I'll consider that a friendly amendment.
Thank
just
you.
Put it in the original.
Thank you.
So, the be resolved clause will be changed from
90 between 50.
Would be changed from to so 62,000 as opposed to 100,000.
Right.
Is what you're suggesting?
Yes.
Yes.
An additional 50.
Correct.
Yes, we'll do that. I'm just trying to understand what we're doing.
Sure.
Mr. Chairman, can I?
Pardon me, sir. Well, then we temporarily lay this over.
Yeah, make it.
Yeah, we want to be clear about what whatever we're doing. We are. We want to be very clear about what we do these days. Very clear. We should be clear anyway about these days. So we would temporarily lay this item over until such an amendment may be prepared for review. We'll temporarily lay this over. So we'll come back to this very shortly.
Okay.
Item number 6, please.